Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I forget when to put it on. I forget when to take it off. How is everyone this morning? Nice to see the sunshine. Even though it's a little chilly, that sun just does something to the inner soul, seeing that bright light. Okay, well, we welcome you to church this morning. We're glad you're here. Do we have any announcements pertaining to church? There's some announcements on the back. I had Karen write reminders on the back, so you may want to look at your bulletin on the back for reminders and announcements. Anybody have any?
Just the BRF witness brochures are here, and they're on the back bench. Please avail yourself of them. It's heaven for the saved. So, you know, I think it's a good idea to get saved, don't you?
So, yes, indeed.
Please take one home.
I was listening to a pastor on the TV this morning. I always try to get up so I can watch a couple of them to get going. And he said about one of the first, there's six steps to get into heaven. And one of the very first step is you need your passport to get there. He was talking about when he was younger in the ministry, how he went to Russia. And he said they were ever so glad because he had a church group there, and they were ever so glad when it came time to leave, because he just always felt an evil presence. He said he wanted to get back home. He said he needed that passport. Well, he had a jokester on the team, and he's here. He waited till everybody went on. His young wife was across the gate and everything, and he couldn't find his passport. And he said, I'm with that group there. He said, and I can't find my passport. He said the guard could have cared less. Then one of his congregants went like this, pulled out his passport. But he said, make sure that you have that passport, because when you want to get to leave this old world and get to that beautiful city of gold, he said, make sure you have the passport. And to get a passport, we need to do certain steps, don't we? So that's just like getting ready for heaven. We need to have certain steps. And the first step is what? Can anybody tell me what your first step is?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness and accepting Him, having Him come into your heart. That's the first step. Okay. Can we have a prelude, Maxine?
Nothing I have done has been a straight path when I started my...
Thank you.
Amen. That was beautiful. Our call to worship comes from Psalms 37, verses 39 through 40. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in a time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. May we bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the grace that you have extended to us another day. Father, we thank you for the mercy and the forgiveness. Father, we are such a blessed people, and we are certainly blessed to be called your children. So, Father, now we just ask in this next hour that we would that you would open our hearts and our minds so that we may partake of your word, and that we may send and lift praises up to you. For it is for you that we have our being, and we just thank you and praise you and give you the glory. It is in Jesus' name we ask these favors. Amen. Okay, another hymn. Isn't that awesome? I just think, I don't know how many of you have read the book of Leviticus, but Leviticus, I'm working on trying to read the Bible in a year. And all, we should be so thankful that we don't have to go through all those offerings and sacrifices. God sent his son to get rid of all that. We have it so easy nowadays. So we need to take full advantage of that. We need to take what he has to offer. Because I'm telling you, folks, I'd be the first one to say, if I lived back then, well, wouldn't be much hope for me. Because I don't think I could be, first off, my mind wouldn't let me remember everything I had to do perfectly right for to be accepted by God.
Yeah, so, the draft
would
help you remind.
Oh, yeah. But just think about that. He is awesome. He made it so easy for us to be able to come to him. Okay, sharing joys and concerns. Well, I start off with joys. Ralph is doing remarkable. I can see the Lord healing him. The physical therapist did his evaluation this week, and he said, when did you say you had your stroke? Well, I just can't believe it. You're doing so well. So, and it's a joy to have such family and friends that are there for support. We've had food from the time it happened coming in, the cards, the phone calls, the gifts. It's just, and that's what it's all about, serving others, and you guys do a great job.
I'm gaining weight.
Yeah, he's gaining weight from all the good food. Yes.
Well, that way you won't blow away.
Okay. Any?
We need to keep those that's been suffering from the tremendous bad weather that they've been having, like down through Texas and so forth. I know, for instance, our son, they didn't have any heat for almost a week. It did come on for about an hour, got up to about 40 some. But so they finally decided to go to a motel where they had some heat to bathe and that kind of stuff. But they are. He called me yesterday, and they did come back home yesterday, and it's starting to change considerably.
Awesome.
But there's a lot of them that's really went through some very difficult times. Mm.
Others? Wow. No others?
I want to keep myself in the prayer list,
yes.
Please.
Yes. And along with that, your good wife.
Amen.
Because the caregiver, it's a tremendous strain on the one that's the caregiver. And their hands are tied. They don't know what to do for them. They try their best. And some days, and just like we need to remember Larry and Michelle, I'm sure Michelle has a struggle too.
And it's also a blessing to have Sam and Jackie back with us today. And
amen.
Looks like they're really freshened up and ready to go. You know?
Danny, update on your mom.
She got her blood work back on. She got blood work done on Thursday. She got it back. Her numbers are down again. They're telling her to start giving herself the Granite shots again. And they postponed the chemo until the numbers rebound again. She's starting to feel run down again.
That reminds me, I have several coworkers that I have on my list that are battling cancer.
We have several people in our community also that have been having some health issues and so forth. We want to remember them. The Lord knows who they are.
You want to keep Bradley on the prayer list?
Yes.
And our country. We know that sure needs God's guidance.
Next week, Brother Garnett's supposed to be with us, and so we've looked up some prayers for his concerns and his travels down the road.
Any others? Let's come before the Lord however is comfortable for you, whether you kneel, sit, whatever. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we just come before you to give you the honor and the glory and the praise that you so deserve. We could be here from morning till night and still not have enough given back to you for all that you do for us. Father, now our list is a little shorter this week, but you know where we've forgotten to mention. You know the needs that are out there. Father, we think of those that have suffered this past week in Texas with the bad weather and the conditions that they're not used to. Father, we just ask that you would help the communities come together and rebuild the homes that were devastated by bursting pipes and ravaging temperatures, Father. Father, we think of Miss Dolores that hasn't been with us for several weeks, Father, and we just ask that you would lift her up. We think of Bob, who struggles with an unknown illness. His doctors are baffled, Father, but we know that you are the greatest physician, and we know that you know the problem and the solution, Father. So we just ask that you would touch him in a mighty way, that you would touch the doctors with your knowledge to be able to help him recover and be back to his normal self. Father, we lift up Larry, another one that's struggling. And Father, we want to lift up the caregivers, Linda and Michelle, for being a wife that dearly loves their husband and doesn't know the answer to help. Father, it's a struggle, it's a strain. Father, and we just ask that you would fill them full of your spirit and strength. Father, we think of Danny's mom, who's had an uphill battle. She's had some good times, good peaks, and then it's down again. Father, we just ask that you continue to shower her with your grace and that you would touch her in a mighty way, and that you would strengthen her, that she would not get downtrodden and depressed. Father, we think of my list with the co-workers that I have facing surgeries and cancer treatments. Father, you know each and every need and each and every name, and I just lift that list up to you. We think of all those that are struggling in Frank's development with one illness or another, Father, that you would be in their lives and that you would touch them. Father, we just need to remember, Father, help us to remember that just like when you told Moses, and again you told Joshua, no matter what they go through, I am there with you. We need to remember that you are there with us through thick and thin. Father, we think of Bradley, who's making some progress, and we just ask that you continue to keep your hand upon him and lead him in the right direction for healing. We think of our country, Father, and the leaders of not only this land, but lands around us. They are drifting further and further from you, Father. And we know usually when your people drift, there is a mighty tragedy that happens to pull them back to you. Father, we just lift up this hurting nation. We ask that you would somehow reach our leaders, that put someone in their path this day that will make them stop and think that they need to come to you for advice before making such major decisions. Father, so we just let that into your hands. We're not to worry because your will be done. Father, we think of Brother Garnett's is going to be here next week. We just ask that you would give him a special blessing this week, him and Katie, and let them have safe travels here next week. Father, I want to lift up my husband to you, that you would keep your healing hand upon him. He's such a blessing. He's always upbeat. He's my even outer, if we so to speak. He keeps me on an even keel because he is so upbeat, and sometimes I fail to be that way. So, Father, I just thank you for him. Father, now, lastly, I just want to lift up Brother Sam. He and his good wife, I'm sure, have been out in the community serving you this week, and I just ask a special blessing upon them. I ask that when he stands here behind this pulpit that you strengthen him, that your words may flow through him, Father, and we just ask that favor and blessing on him and his wife. Father, now we unite that perfect prayer in unison. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debtors, as we forgive those. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Maxine, that was beautiful. Beautiful. Okay, so this morning's scripture reading comes from Titus 2:11-15. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us for every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. With those words now we'll ask Brother Stan to come up.
Well, it's a delight to be back here and to minister the Word of God. Generally, every sermon has an introduction. I'll probably say my introduction is amen. Everything that Evan just said. So we appreciate the opportunity, Brother Bob, inviting us to be here and to share the Word of God. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we give thanks for your grace and kindness. Thank you for the grace of God that brings us salvation. We pray now that you'll bless us. We spend time in your word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. We're looking in Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation. My first point today is deliverance in salvation. And I agree with everything that Debbie said about a passport. The difference between this passport to heaven and earth is that you have to go to the Thurmont post office or somewhere to get one here, but the one to heaven was paid for at Calvary. And the one here, not every nation accepts it, but the one you have with God is accepted into heaven. Also, the one here, I guess, has an expiration date. My wife and I got passports in 1982 to go to Israel and Greece. I assume by now that's been long expired, but Jesus gives us everlasting life. So we want to look at salvation. Maybe you've been in church all your life. Maybe you know things about the Lord, but do you know Christ in a personal way? Have you accepted him, what he did? Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us that. Maybe you know enough to repeat along with me. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We have to pay for our passport. But the one to heaven is too expensive. So the Lord paid for it himself. So I'm going to deal with other things here in a little bit. But if you don't know Jesus, if you're not born again, if you're not a Christian, then nothing else makes sense. In baseball, when you hit the ball, the first thing you do is do what? You go to first base. You say you want a home run, so you just step on home base. No, it doesn't work that way. You got to go first base first. So the first thing for us is to make sure that we know Jesus as our Savior. My wife didn't go to church as a young person. And then as a teenager, she had some friends that took her to a Bible preaching church. And she went there and was so regular, they thought she was saved. But just because she went regular doesn't mean that she had ever come to know Christ. So later on, she came to know the Lord as her Savior. So it says it has appeared. That means like a spotlight. As far as I know, my dad only led one person to the Lord, me, my dad and my preacher. I can still remember our church had revival meetings. Remember the old time revival meetings? They'd go 2 or 3 weeks every night. You'd have people at the altar and all these kind of things. And so our church had a revival meeting. It was on a Good Friday. That's why I know the date so easy to go back and see when it was Good Friday in 1949, April 15th. And that afternoon, I can still remember I was standing in the barnyard. My dad said, Samuel, you need to be born again. And it was like the Spirit of God struck me. And I knew I'd been in church all my life. In fact, I was in church 9 months before I was born, if you know what I mean. In my mother's womb. I was in church before they knew I was in church, I guess. But that night when they gave the invitation and they did that Billy Graham, Just As I Am, with that one plea, they didn't need to sing 10 verses. By the time they said Just As, boy, I was down that aisle and accepted the Lord as my Savior. And then on the way home, what a difference between going in, not knowing if I'm going to go to heaven, and going home and knowing that I accepted Christ as my Savior. So it's by God's grace. And it says, appeared to all men or for the benefit of all people. One advantage about being a Christian versus a salesman. You don't have to have any prior information about the person. If you're a bank, before you can lend a loan, you got to get a loan application and this and that. But you can tell anyone, Jesus died for you. He died for everyone. 1 Timothy says, who will have all men to be saved? So it doesn't matter what race. You said missionaries. You don't have to say, well, they didn't have money. They don't have to have money. If they accept Jesus, they're born again. So salvation is delivered by grace. But then when we go down in verse 12, it begins to tell us some additional things. And there's some things we're going to be looking at here that sometimes people resist. If you resist too much, do you know how amazing grace is? When we sing Amazing Grace, do you realize how amazing grace really is? I mean, it was one thing for God to save me, but did God save each one of us? And you know yourself better than anybody else. As I get older, I know myself better than anybody else. And the older I get, the more I'm amazed that God would even save me. So why do you want to save that character? And so it's God's amazing grace. But then in verse 12, it says, teaching us. And that means to instruct, to train, to discipline, to correct, to chasten. When we were in school, we were trained. When you're on a sports team, you're trained. When you're in the military, my father-in-law was drafted with two children during World War II. He tried to join the Navy, but he wound up in the Army. And first day in boot camp, this was just before the Battle of the Bulge. He was in the Battle of the Bulge, so we're getting ready for it. He said, listen up. Guys are getting killed over there, and you're the replacement. Now listen. So, okay. People getting killed. So we need to be trained. There's a battle going on. There's a spiritual battle going on. And so here are things that are being trained. The first thing is kind of negative, isn't it? Teaching us that denying. Oh, here goes some negative. We're so positive. Well, it begins with the negative. Things we don't do. Denying. That means say no to, turn down, renounce, reject, forsake. Two areas. Ungodliness and worldly lust. Ungodliness has the idea that which defies God. In my 12 years in Frederick County Public Schools, I don't ever recall any time, 12 years, all teachers in Frederick High School with a big faculty in Lewistown, one teacher per grade. But in those 12 years, I don't recall any teacher ever saying anything detrimental to the Bible or God or church or family or religion. Now, I'm not saying they were all Christians. I'm not sure if they all went to church. But there was a respect for the Bible in my day in school. So much so that in Frederick High School, they had a devotions committee. And they would start each day with some scripture run by the students with a supervisor and a brief prayer. Can you believe in 4 years after they gave that, no one got up and punched somebody. No one got shot. Is that true today? Schools are not as safe. What happened? We've taken the Bible out of the school. We've taken God out of the school. And we wonder, what's our problem? Our problem is we have a godless society, and it says we should reject ungodliness. They never talked about against the church. Can you believe we even had Christmas programs? Man, we sang Christmas carols in school. Even in music class, we practiced Christmas carols and Christmas programs. And we had Easter. Now you have winter break and spring break. And it's not the same. So we reject that which is against the person of God. Maybe you know people that use profanity and God's name in vain. God says he will hold those who take his name in vain. God's very protective of his name. And so I've even had to watch slang that might be just slightly disrespectful. So I've had to cut that out. Then it talks about worldly lust. Now, this world, the things of this world, the word lust has this idea of strong craving, strong desires. Now, there are a lot of things that we may have in our life, but I would look at a lust as something in your life that diminishes your love for the Lord. Do we really love the Lord, or do we love this thing more than the Lord? One of the things I've had to struggle with is sports. I'm going to blame it on my high school. But I think when it's all done, you know, I'm so old that kids that were born the year I graduated from high school will be eligible for Social Security. Now, that's getting pretty bad. But I still have that struggle with sports. I will say in the last couple of years, not quite as much with professional sports, with all that kneeling and protesting and carrying on about the flag. So you can have it. But when I was going into my senior year, the guidance counselor, Mr. Ferguson, said that I had all of my core courses to graduate. Remember those days you had the core courses? He said, you need one more elective to graduate from Frederick High School. I said, well, what are my choices? He said, Latin and football, one or the other. Now, how many of you people think you know me well enough to know which one I chose? An old farm boy with a John Deere tractor going to study Latin or play football? How many of you vote for Latin? How many vote for football? Sorry, that's the way it was. So I had this sports in my blood, and so I've had to deal with it. But Jesus is more important than any sport whatsoever. I remember one time our church had a missionary that works with the Jewish mission and a good speaker. He had good videos. He had books. And so our church wanted to have him come as a speaker. So I called the mission board and found out when's he available. This was like in August, first part of September. He's not available September, October, November, December, January. The first Sunday available was the first Sunday of February next year. Fine, he's on. Redskins had a terrible preseason. And then the Redskins begin to win and win and win and win. And I'm watching the clock, the calendar, and the Redskins. Wouldn't you know, they were in the Super Bowl the Sunday that guy came to our church, and we have an evening service at 6 p.m., and the Super Bowl starts at 6:30. So we made an agreement. We're going to start at 6 o'clock pronto. First and last verse of one song, and you're on. And I told the speaker, we love you, we love the Lord, but at 7 o'clock, we're out of here. So things went scheduled. He was from Philadelphia. I invited him to watch the game, but you know how Philadelphia people are about the Redskins. So he wanted to go back home. I took him back to the Amtrak station in New Carrollton, Maryland. When he got out of the car, closed the door, turned the radio on. I could still see this guy walking into the Amtrak station when John Riggins went left and went in for a touchdown and the Redskins won. A couple of years later on, here we go again. Redskins playing on Super Bowl Sunday. We got evening service playing Denver. I said, folks, we're going to have church. Game's over. We go to the party. Denver's leading 14-0. And that was the time Doug Williams lit up the scoreboard with 5 touchdowns. So I figured, well, it must be the Redskins. So a couple of years ago, I was preaching in Kramer Baptist Church in Snyder County, Pennsylvania, which is on the end of the boondoggles of Pennsylvania. Pittsburgh Steelers fans. And I was scheduled way early in the year, and I keep watching. Wouldn't you believe the Steelers are in the Super Bowl the night I'm there to preach? So I just told him in the morning service, y'all might as well come to the evening service. Pittsburgh will do nothing till this service, until I'm done preaching, you get home. So sure enough, they all showed up. I preached, didn't go over time. To about 35 minutes back to my daughter and son-in-law where we're staying. And they're watching the Super Bowl. How's it going? Oh, Pittsburgh is pitiful. It wasn't 2 minutes later. They scored like crazy. So I don't know what it is about sports, but sports has its place, but not first place. Another illustration, another thing altogether. In my first pastorate, in those days, in the 60s, and I don't know if this has been true here, when I was in pastor in the 60s, ministers visited people. Just stop in for a few minutes. That basically doesn't happen anymore, and I don't do it anymore. But in those days, it was almost a sociable thing. If you didn't stop in once in a while, it was not very friendly. So the people knew I would visit around the county. This is Southern Maryland, 45 minutes beyond Washington, D.C., down Chesapeake Bay area. And so they knew my habit. I'd visit. They said, Grandma so-and-so, don't visit between 1 and 2 p.m. She's an older lady. I was 25. And so I said, what? She taking a nap? No. She's watching a soap opera. And she will not answer the phone or the door for that hour. My response probably was not very good. I said, what if her house is on fire? I wasn't well received with that. I guess her house is on fire, she'd answer the door. So we can have these things that get us in trouble. When I was growing up, back here in Frederick County, our neighbor put in a new kind of fence I'd never heard of. An electric fence. Now, you grew up on a farm. You had posts and rails or barbed wire or wire fence. This guy had an electric fence. So I thought, I wonder how that works. We had a socket in the barn that was not grounded right. If you touched it wrong, you got an electrical shock. So I knew what that, I thought, electrical shock at the barn, I knew how that is. I wonder how it would be on the fence. So a neighbor boy and I, we said, we're going to experiment and find out. So I said, I'm going to get a real long weed like this. And I'm going to walk up and I'll lay it on the wire. And just, just a little bit in my finger, maybe a little bit. And I'll just kind of go in until I get enough. So I put this thing on the wire and nothing happened. And I began pushing it in. About halfway in, I thought, I don't think he has it on. Mm-hmm. Kept pushing. All of a sudden, bang! I thought I was going to turn my elbow off. Mm-hmm. I just had to do that one time. So that's what this lust has an idea. We just have to do it. And there are things in my life, sometimes I think maybe it's all right, but if it gets in the way of the Word of God, you've got to say no and walk away from it. Nothing is sweeter than the love of Jesus. So we say no to worldly lust. But on the other side, it says we should live soberly, righteously, godly. We want to live in a way that pleases the Lord. I agree with Debbie. I've just been reading through Leviticus 2. Leviticus also in the Old Testament, in Numbers. And I think they have to write this down. I mean, all those things you bring, so many of this and so many of that, and you bring this on third day and it's on the sixth day. I hope it's written down. If not, I'd be dead. But there's all those things you've got to do to please the Lord. And then in Israel, when they went into the promised land, God said to Moses, now, here's what I want Joshua to read when you get in there. It's called Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. And you go to Mount Ebal, and it's in the Bible, and you say, cursed be you if you do the curse. It's a whole chapter. God's going to curse you if you do this. Stand on this mountain. Then you go over here on this mountain, and you say, God will bless you and bless you and bless you. When I read through the Bible, I don't know why we all don't follow the Lord. God has so many blessings for us. Why do we want to see if we can get by with a curse? When Jack and I were there in 1972, This is north of Jerusalem. Mount Ebal and Gerizim is there today. Jacob's well. Remember John 4 when Jesus told the woman in Samaria, Jacob's well is there. So as we're driving into the area, we can see Mount Ebal is barren today. Mount Gerizim is full of trees. So even the mountain itself shows cursing and blessing. So God wants to bless. Why? Why we want to get ourselves in trouble with the Lord? It's so much better to walk with the Lord. Soberly means inner restraint. Do you ever feel like giving somebody a piece of your mind? Well, maybe you don't have anything to spare. And I think we all have said things off the cuff. That the echo hadn't stopped. I wish I hadn't said that. Righteously means according to God's right standard and reverence to the Lord. It says, in this present world. Now, I've often thought, when Paul wrote this, when he talked about ungodliness and worldly lust, I wonder what he had in mind. He didn't have NFL in mind when he wrote this. I wonder what is ungodliness and worldly lust. But apparently, there's always been an inner desire. If I recall, Adam and Eve had a problem, didn't they, in the garden. You just had to eat that fruit of that tree. You just had to do it, didn't you? And look what it's gotten into. So it says, in this present world, there are a lot of temptations. So many things are so temptable. I mean, you turn your television on. You got to watch it. There's so much stuff on there that you don't want to watch. And I don't even, probably like I am, when I'm watching something and they've got to bleep, bleep, bleep somebody's speech, I'm out. I don't need it. I'll be figuring out what the bleep is, but I don't need that in my mind. So even in this world in which we live today, there are temptations all about us. And the little smartphones for dumb people. My wife has a smartphone. I'm the dumb guy. Mine's that flip phone. It's on, it's off. Hers got all the stuff on there, and I just keep watching. Thankfully, the Lord has given us grandkids. You know what I mean? You get a smartphone. We got a smartphone one day, and the next day we're going to Pennsylvania, and our granddaughter, how old is Heidi? 11. 11 years old. It's disgusting. Here's my wife with that new phone. Hey, Heidi, how do I do this? It's so disgusting. She goes, and that's it. So, but there's stuff on there that can get you in trouble. Take it from the Word of God. So, in this present world. But then in verses 13 through the end of the chapter, delight in Christ's return. We have discipline in our living. We're delivered in salvation. Discipline in living now, but delight in Christ's return. What do we have to look forward to? Jesus is coming. The world has no idea about this. They say, oh, pie in the sky. It's not a pie in the sky. It's a promise. It says looking for. That means favorable expectation. We're looking for the coming of Jesus. What I try to do, and I did this morning, I have my Bible here, but I have another Bible in my office right now. Open to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where it says, the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. And I've got a pen pointing to the word Lord himself. So if the rapture took place right now, and they eventually get into our home, they're going to go to my office. They're going to see the Bible's open where Jesus took us out of here. Someday it might happen. And not only that, the pen on there says New Carrollton Bible Church, the church we started back down in D.C. When they get there, won't be anybody there. What happened to them? My wife and I were discussing the other day, and I think we discussed in our Bible class Tuesday. I really believe that America will be destroyed in the rapture. I believe in rapture, and why we don't have America in Bible prophecy, in my view, hopefully I'm correct, when Christians are gone, America will be destroyed. Just one thing alone. Right now, as we're in this building, or maybe an hour from now, how many Christians will have vehicles on the highway? How many tractor trailer drivers are Christians? How many Christians? We were doing this, we were listening to Gaither, "The King is Coming." We were on US 15 from Harrisburg to Dillsburg. I think I had cruise control with 55. And we thought, if the rapture took place right now, I'll light my Malibu, but I'm not taking it with me. If you want to bring your car along, I don't think it's going to fit the streets of gold. So we're going down to US 15. If the rapture took place, we're out. And the car is like 55 miles an hour. It's going to go somewhere. At the same time, there was an ambulance coming up 15, going to Harrisburg. Suppose that ambulance driver was a Christian. He's out of here. Have you seen on the news in Texas 100 and some cars piled up? If you saw the front page of Hagerstown Herald Mail yesterday, the big crash on 81, I can't even, I saw a bumper. That's all I can recognize. That's a terrible crash. Can you imagine how many crashes in America when the rapture takes place? Those left behind, dial 911. What will happen in the 911 office if the person's a Christian? Are they going to go with us? You better believe it. So the ones left behind, they call the rescue squad. So how many people in Rocky Ridge Fire Company are Christians? They can't drive their truck. Guardian hose can't go. Their thermal ambulance can't go if they're Christians here. So I look at it as a mass confusion in America. And what excites me, there are people right now can't wait to get rid of Christians. And I think someday they're going to get their request. They want us out of here. And Jesus says, it's time to go. Won't that be a great time? So it says, we look, we have great expectation. It's called a blessed hope. It's happy. Now, when I get home today, I'll see my Bible, and I might close it and say, okay, next time. Whenever you do the Lord's table, it says, this do in remembrance of Jesus till he come. Remember his death till he come. You have the love feast. Every love feast you have is one more love feast close to Jesus. And someday we're going to have a feast up there. Going to be better than the best one. You do a good job here, but the one in heaven is going to be a lot better. So it's a blessed hope. And it says the glorious appearing. That word appearing has the idea of the appearance of a God. And so Jesus is God. He appears. Three things about the coming of Jesus, not just anybody. Looking for that blessed hope of the glorious appearing of a great God and our Savior. Aren't you glad Jesus saved you? Won't it be good someday to see him face to face and thank him? We thank him now, but someday face to face. But it says in verse 14 some things about it. Who gave himself for us? This one who comes is the one who saved us. I assume most of us have had major operations. Isn't it interesting, after the major operation, when you're recovering and you go back for a checkup, how much you appreciate the surgeon. When I had my carotid artery surgery and put me in there, and everything's fine after a couple weeks, I appreciate the doctor so much more. Now, I knew ahead of time, or accepted. He knows what he's doing. Before you go in, you want to make sure that doctor knows what he's doing. But afterward, when it's all done and Frank's hip feels better, you feel a whole lot better about the doctor and what was done. Won't it be something someday when we stand with Jesus? Realize he saved us at Calvary's cross. And we're with him forever. He gave us salvation. He redeemed us. It says also down here that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Paid in full. And then purify him to himself. To cleanse us. You ever have thoughts that maybe are not as pure as it should be? Maybe you misjudge somebody. Won't it be glad when God purifies us totally? And what it says is zealous of good works. is encouraging the people that want to serve the Lord. They want to do what God would have them do. And then verse 15 it says, these things speak and exhort, rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you. When someone says, I don't believe in Jesus is coming, I'm telling you, he's coming. And we got our passport, Debbie. And we're saying with John, even so come, Lord Jesus. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we give thanks for your grace today. Thank you that you saved us. Thank you that we're living for your glory now. And we say with John, even so come, Lord Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.
pray. Father, we give thanks for this dear church and the folks here that love you. We ask your blessing on us. We sure need your blessing and your grace every day. Thank you. Grace is abounding.